the Civico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go through the looking glass and beyond to find you a realm that other talk shows dare not invade. And that's what this is all about with our show. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, and they won't, and they shan't. And by the way, 1 week from tomorrow morning, 1 week from tomorrow morning, we'll be on Fox and Friends. We will not be on Fox and Friends tomorrow morning because the Radio Rumble will not be happening. It's been preempted for something else, but we'll be on Fox and Friends a week from tomorrow a.m. And we want to thank Gary Lycan for a beautiful piece in the Orange County Register. Beautiful review of our show. Thank you so much, Gary. And a lot of the good people out there in the print world giving us tons of love. Don Anthony's morning show boot camp we will be at in Miami at the end of the month. Then I'm visiting my relatives in Toronto, Canada. And I hope that that cat up there, what's his name, Strombo, lets me go in and watch the show, whatever.
How do you pronounce that guy's name anyway?
I don't know. Strombolopoulos. Seriously. No, George, you know that you have to do that. And anyway, so thank you all. Let's get down to it here tonight. We're back from vacation. Lots to get to. Yes, I know all about Anthony Weiner. And we will probably be dealing with that this evening. We are going to kick off tonight, though, talking a little bit about the Casey Anthony trial with Bobby Dooley. And we'll get you up to speed on that. Next hour, we're talking with a substitute middle school teacher, Clara Bingham, on a new phenomenon in this country, a way for school districts and schools to make ends meet. They're having children who bring their lunches to school or bring their breakfasts or snacks to school to pack their garbage out. So the kids have to take their garbage that they create with them out of the school, and Ms. Bingham is going to be talking with us about that as well. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have three brand-new affiliates to talk about here this evening, WMGG in Tampa, WCAR in Livonia, Michigan, in the suburbs of Detroit, and WKBZ, Muskegon, Michigan. All new stations on a great network of stations, 130, 140 strong, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And also our website, philhendryshow.com. If you're missing an affiliate, you want to know where there is one close to you, just please visit our website. We've got an affiliate list there. We also have merchandise. You can buy yourself a ball cap, find out where your affiliate is, watch the video cast, laugh yourself sick, miss school, miss work. Who cares? Anyway, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Bobby and Steve Dooley on the line with us. There's going to be, as I understand it, Ms. Dooley, from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, a tour leaving later this month or early July. When will that be?
Right now, Phil, it will be in early July. We will be landing in Orlando, we think, after the 4th, though.
Okay, and this is to visit the Casey Anthony trial.
If there are two distinct tours that we're offering the residents of Western Estates. One will deal directly with the Casey Anthony trial, and will have as an adjunct my walking tour of the notable spots, important spots, in the Casey Anthony case. The other will focus entirely on the walking tour. Both of them include airfare and hotel. We think they are a tremendous value for the week. We're talking now, Phil, inclusive of airfare,
$6,500. $6,500 is the airfare and hotel?
And hotel. And on two of the days where we do provide a boxed lunch on two of the walking tour days. There's a three-day walking tour. We do provide the box lunch on the first 2 days. If you are going strictly for the walking tour...
All right, well, I go ahead and say the last thing, because I wanted to get really into the reasons why you're doing this.
Well, the reasons why we're doing it, I think, are going to be obvious, but I just wanted to say that the walking tour, if you're only going for the walking tour, that will be 3 days of the box lunch. I will be providing notes. I'll also be passing out the notes to people. Anyone who is there for academic or research reasons, and certainly the media like yourself, that we are available for interviews.
This is a trip to Orlando, Florida, sponsored by your homeowners association, to tank in the Casey Anthony trial.
To take in at least 1 or 2 days of the trial.
Do you guys have seats already set up for this trial?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, how are you going to get in? Because I've been watching the trial.
Oh, no. We'll be there in the morning, Steve and myself. And I can assure you that one way or the other, we're going to be able to get three or four people in per day for the week. So, and we don't plan on going with more than, say, 20 people. So,
are you sold out yet?
We're close to being sold out. But really, one of the reasons, Phil, why I'm on the program is not so much to sell the trip, because we're sure we're going to sell it out.
Can I just go back to one thing, though, Ms. Dooley? You're absolutely certain that you're going to be able to get seats in the courtroom for people who are buying this tour?
Oh, without question. Without question.
Can you tell me how you're going to do that? Because there have been people who've been pushing and shoving. I've been reading stories about people fainting.
No, I know that, Phil. And I just don't think that... I don't want to get into what we're going to do. I know there's an awful lot of very unsophisticated people who will, you know, attempt to get into these high-profile trials in a rather ham-fisted way. I can assure you that my husband and I will get seats for 3 to 4 people a day.
So are you guaranteeing that every person that travels to Orlando with you will see at least one day of the Casey Anthony trial?
Absolute luck.
Do you know... Wow, I'd love to know who you know.
It isn't about knowing people, Phil. It's about having respect and knowing what to say and what to do.
Well, I mean, I could ask you a bunch of questions about that, but nonetheless, let's move on. So what do you... Our number, by the way, folks, is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Tell me about this trip, the walking tour, as well as the trial day.
Well, it's obviously a fascinating trial. I've been following it, and I finally said to my husband that we have to put something together. This is utterly fascinating. This is a woman who is being charged with killing her daughter, and then leaving her daughter in a bag or some other kind of container in the middle of a field, and the ridiculous lies that she's been telling, the convoluted stories, the people who have been believing these stories. I mean, it is really utterly fascinating. What we want to do is bring people down to the trial, watch some of these people, especially the ones that were believing a lot of the things she said.
Well, a lot of those people are, we're talking about a mother and a father who are absolutely heartbroken, you know.
Oh, I understand that, Phil. It's really interesting to see how they would get conned, though, you know.
Well, they love their daughter.
Well, they love their daughter, but I don't think you love someone so much that you... And I'm going to explain all of this when we take our walking tour. The other thing that we're going to do is visit the street where the Anthonys live on. We will not be invasive. We will not be intrusive. We'll allow people, obviously, to take pictures.
Now, you understand that the Anthonys have had all they're going to be able to take of people coming in front of their house, the media coming in front of their house, cats taking pictures, people walking on the lawn.
No, I understand that, Phil. And we're not going to be there to be rude. We're not.
But you know that they probably got very little patience even for people just to stand there and take pictures.
Well, they're going to have to deal with a little bit of it because we have a constitutional right to go there and look at it. And
Look at what?
To look at what? To look at the house where the murder person lived, and then also we're going down to the field where she left the box that had the kid in it. And so these are all areas, Phil, that are newsworthy, and they are fascinating. I just heard you say that you've been watching the trial.
Yes, I have been watching the trial, but the point that I'm making here is I haven't been watching the trial to the extent that I'm wrapped up in it as one might be wrapped up in a football game. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, this is not a football game.
But Henry, we're talking, the little girl died.
No, I know that. I understand that. But to me, it's a bit morbid. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, we're not on your program, Phil, to have you knock down. We're trying to do something good here.
I can say, Phil, we're trying to do a good thing. Everybody lives.
Okay.
No, I know you're trying to do a good thing, but if you're going there, you said that you're going to take pictures of the house where the murder person lived. What's that?
The murderer, the Casey Anthony.
All right, you know that she's on trial and has not yet been adjudicated guilty.
I understand that, but it is our right as citizens, and you said it the other night, that we can, we're not in the courtroom, so we can say she's guilty if we want to.
Yeah, the other thing is to take a picture of it.
And to get a picture of it. Now, the other, if I could go on, Phil, because I think you're going to understand and your listeners are going to understand a little bit better.
All right.
We're going to go down to the field.
Oh, hold on. That's the other thing. You're going to go down to the field where she left the kid in a box or something.
No, I did not say that. I said we'll go down to the field where the box was that had the kid in it.
Yeah, that's the same thing. And what I'm saying is, don't you feel that's a little hardcore? You know, in terms of the way the way that you're talking about it, you know?
Phil, I'm not sure. It is a serious case, a very, very serious case. Yes, it's hardcore. Yes, it is tragic. We're talking about it as if it's tragic. I'm a mother, okay?
Yeah, you're a mother.
I'm a mother. I have three boys. Are you trying to tell me?
Well, no, ma'am, I'm not trying to tell you.
Are you trying to tell me that I don't have sensitivity to a woman and a mother who may have murdered her child and a grandmother who is absolutely heart sick?
I am not saying that.
Well, then why won't you allow me the respect that is due any mother? Allow me to tell you about what we have planned. We're going to go to the Casey home. We're going to go and look where the box was that had the little kid in it. And the reason why we're saying that is because I heard that the utility man walked by it a couple of times. He couldn't locate it.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Okay, and so you're doing a walking tour.
Yes, I'm going to be doing the tour. We'll get out of the bus. I'll walk people into the field. I'll say, here is where it is. Now, the other, this is where, and also, this is very interesting. And this is fascinating. Apparently, animals fed on the remains.
Oh, God, Ms. Dooley.
No, Phil.
Do you understand that this is what I'm talking about?
It's really interesting.
I am a mother.
You're saying you're a mother. And to bring up the animals and the remains is, this is what I'm talking about. It's morbid.
It is an educational tour, and I wish you would allow me to finish, because there are three areas in that swamp. Where the box was, well, I guess he's not going to...
And where the remains got dragged to.
And where the remains got dragged to. Tasteless and offensive.
And this is your verdict?
This is my opinion. This is my opinion. Why would anybody want to go down to Orlando and take your walking tour as you go, oh, and by the way, here's where the kid was found, and here is where...
People still are a little bit more tuned into the world of crime because of Aphrodite Jones and Investigation Discovery. People want to know about crime and criminality, and I think you not being a mother, you don't understand that as mothers, we get very thick skins about these things. We want to know, is it possible that my daughter is going to kill her kid? And if she does, where is she going to put it? And yes, Phil, yes. If animals are around, where are they likely to drag the remains to?
Oh, God. I hold the line, please.
Well, you know...
Hold the line, please. 877-876-PHIL. You know, I don't give it. I don't care what kind of a mother you are. You got a thick skin about what? I got to find out how this is done? Because if they drag the remains somewhere, that, you know, that to me is the most sickening thing. What do you make of Bobby Dooley's tour and Mr. Dooley, Western Estates Homeowners Association in general, a tour on the Casey Anthony trial? Is it tasteless? Is it offensive? Would you ever consider such a trip? Not me. 877-876-7445 for your phone calls next. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Yeah.
the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Well, famous Phil Henry Show, we'll get back to Bobby and Steve Dooley in just a moment. They're talking about a walking tour of the Casey Anthony trial that they are going to be conducting for the Homeowners Association, flying to Orlando in early July. But first, this word from our good friends at Life Change Tea. What happened to Mark? Bud, where's the Life Change Tea copy, man?
Right there.
Oh, here it is. Yes. Our good friends at Life Change Tea, a sponsor of the Phil Henry Show, and I'd just like you to keep in mind their website, which is getthetea.com. Life Change Tea is an all-natural, it's an all-organic blend specially formulated to do what? To detoxify your filthy insides, okay? Now, I'm not saying that you're filthy and dirty and all of that. I'm just saying that we all accumulate stuff when we eat this stuff, and no matter what it is, we may be eating nothing but broccoli and grain water, man. Grain alcohol? No, not we're not Dr. Strangelove. I mean, rainwater, you know.
What's grain water?
Grain water, I don't know what that is, but we may think that we are living the ideal healthy life, but we're not. That's why you need Life Change Tea, okay? It's formulated to detoxify and cleanse your kidneys, your liver, your colon, your blood, all at once. Now, people who want to lose weight and benefit from the great tasting and non-caffeinated tea of Life Change Tea, this is a great, great product. 45-day money-back guarantee on all Life Change Tea. No gimmicks, just results. And a happier you. So get it. Get to their website, which is getthetea.com, getthetea.com, or call this number, 928-308-0408, 928-308-0408, 928-308-0408. And don't forget to tell them that Phil Henry sent you Life Change Tea, one of our terrific sponsors. Phil Henry Show here, Bobby and Steve Dooley. Our number is 877-876-PHIL as we continue discussing the Casey Anthony trial and the junket or trip that you guys will be taking with members of the Homeowners Association. You're going to do a walking tour. You're going to go in front of the Anthony home. You're going to go to where they found this poor baby's remains. You have Bobby, I'm telling you right now,
he did not come on your program to be subjected to some sort of a lecture. I'm a mother.
I understand that you're a mother. I'd like to know how it figures into being a mother that you're going to go to where they found this child's remains and say the remains were here and then they were dragged over there.
That is essential information for any mother to know.
And why is that essential for any mother to know?
And by the way, Phil, I do take exception to your use of the word morbid. I think it's very insulting.
Why is that important for mothers to know?
It's important for any mother to know what, if she is a grandmother, what her daughter is capable of doing. Your daughter is going to go into the world. She's going to have a child, and you have no idea what she's going to do to that child. You have no idea what she's capable of. And so we are.
So in other words, if I'm a grandmother and I'm a man, but I have to be aware of not the great things that being a grandmother may bring, not the wonderful things of being a mother. I want to start thinking very seriously about what my daughter is going to do to my granddaughter.
Mr. Henry, what do you think's going on in Orlando?
I'll do it, Steve. What do you think is going on in Orlando right now? There is a trial going on. And we are going to take people there so they can see, in case they have a daughter that's going to have a baby, look what this one did.
All right, 877-876-7445 here on the Phil Henry Show. I'm going to go to a phone call here and talk with Bobby and Steve Dooley here. We have Mary in Manhattan. Go ahead, Mary. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, good evening, Phil. This is my first time.
Good evening. Good evening.
Listening to your program.
Ma'am.
I'm enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
And welcome
Thank you.
To your guest. I also
Thank you very much.
I appreciate where your guest is coming from when she, you know, in this day, no, when I'm, let me finish. In this day and age, a lot of people are more investigative now because of all these programs that you have on TV. You don't want to hear what you hear on TV, you know, these little bits of the trial. More people want to get more involved. So I think what you're trying to say is that you're trying to piece together this psychopathic, this criminal's mind so that maybe...
Hold on for a minute. Mary, will you hang on for a minute? Bobby, would you not go, mm-hmm, mm-hmm?
Your
You're going, and I'm like, it's disturbing. Hold the line, Mary. We're going to be back after this commercial break. Mary, you hang on. Okay. Bobby, you hang on. And we're going to be right back after a commercial break. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. As we talk with Bobby and Steve Dooley about a tour they're taking to Orlando for the Casey Anthony trial and all of the interesting spots, like where they found this child's body. Is it morbid? Yes. Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, and welcome back here as we talk with Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association. The Casey Anthony trial, which is now on, I believe it's 28th or 29th day, is it's a heartbreaking trial. It's an unbelievable trial. If you watch this, Bobby, as I have, you're looking at a family coming apart. You're looking at an American family that has been destroyed.
Well, Phil, you know, you're talking like you're John Dos Passos or Ernest Hemingway.
No, I'm not. I'm saying something very real. I'm looking at that mother, that Cindy, the father, George, the daughter, a granddaughter gone, a son. This family is destroyed. Their daughter is going to go to prison. Their baby granddaughter is dead. They have a son who's getting married. Any grandchildren they have obviously will come by way of their son, but it's unbelievable.
And Phil, all the better for us to go to Orlando and get to the bottom. And that's why I want to go to the District 9 Medical Examiner's office. I know Dr. G, okay?
You know the medical examiner.
I know Dr. G, yeah. And if we're able, I would like to recreate what that car, and let me finish, Phil, what that car smelled like.
And oh, God.
But then you've been prejudiced.
You're prejudicing this tour, Phil.
No, I'm not. I don't know how in God's name you're going to get a medical exam, especially this Dr. G. Apparently she's very well known. Is on television, everything. Here is Mary again, hanging on very patiently in New York City. Mary, go right ahead, Mary.
Okay, I just wanted to wrap things up. I'm sure there's a lot of people that want to call. It's a very good topic because so many people, and you know, in today's times, you know, with the media coverage and you know, so much information out there, we do get fixated on certain high-profile crimes and things like that. So I remember the case when it first started, and I definitely believe the mother was had something to do with this in the beginning when she didn't report the little girl missing. So as a mother,
well,
like you said,
why not take our tour?
Yeah,
we're going to go into the field. Mm-hmm. Have you ever, and I don't mean to intrude, Mary, do you know what a dead body smells like?
Yes, I
know. What has that got to do with that? What has that got to do with, and Mary, you do know, huh?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Do you, Mr. Hendry?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. It smells, it's nauseating, okay?
Right, you never forget the smell.
You know, it's there's no other smell like it.
Right.
Well, I haven't, and I feel as if we have a right.
But
and if Dr. G can somehow make available to us the remains of a human to put into, we're going to rent a sunbird, we're going to, if we can, inform the interior with this aroma, and then...
And then what? Have everybody on the tour stick their head in the sunbird and smell it?
Yes. God.
Can I say something that I'm going to go?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Is I think your intentions were good and still are good because you want to bring to light the kind of minds that people can have, and maybe it can be a warning to other people when they see their daughters or children, because men are killing their children also. But I think you're talking about the mindset, you know, behind somebody who's going to just break one day and go off and just kill their child. But I think that more information probably should be given about what happened before the death, so that if you want to use this as a warning to other people, because she seemed to be a psychopath and she had some kind of, you know, mental problem that she's still, she's displaying now while she's on trial. So there's probably things like maybe teachers, you know, people that knew her can tell you about, you know, her.
Oh, there's a good point, yeah.
That,
you know, they always say that a lot of psychopathic people when they were little kids, this is going to sound crazy, psychopathic people when they were little kids would do things like try to flush a kitten down a toilet.
Right, kill animals, stuff like that.
And then when you'd ask them, why are you doing that? You take the kitten away from them, they would cry, not because they felt bad for the cat. They cried because they didn't have their toy to flush down a toilet.
Yeah, they got
I don't know what either one of you are talking about.
What I'm talking about.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about the stink in that car.
Okay, we heard you about it. Mary, thank you.
Okay.
You're right. We got to take a break. And thank you, Mary, very much for your call, though. I appreciate that. 877-876-PHIL. Ms. Dooley, you know, to say you know Dr. G there from District 9 and say you're going to procure a what? You're going
to... No, I would appreciate if you're not speaking to me in an accusatory term. I'm saying that...
You just mentioned a very prominent medical examiner who you think is going to give you access to the remains of a human?
No, I did not. See, that's where you got it wrong. No, I did not.
No, she did, Mr. Henry.
No, I did not. I said, if you'll let me finish.
Go ahead.
I said that if the District 9 Medical Examiner's Office could make available a corpse to inform the interior of the Sunbird.
What does that mean, inform the interior?
Spread the smell of it.
Yes, to imbue it.
To get the some rented Sunbird to smell like a dead body was in it.
If you want to put it that way, yes. But that's, I'm not saying that I'm going up to Dr. G and I'm saying you owe me a favor. She doesn't owe me anything. I know her. I did do her one favor because she looks a little, she looks very athletic. And I had said to someone, no, she's not blank, blank, blank. You could see the looks on their face. Is she a you know what?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I got to get to some phone calls here. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Do you think that this tour to see the murder site and the principal areas of the murder of this child is at all tasteful? Let's go to Jerry in Indianapolis. Jerry, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Yes, this lady is crazy. Want to take this tour. And the whole idea is just insane. It's totally insane. Why can't you just learn from the news report what's going on and let that be enough? Why can't you just
lie. They lie. The news lies, as you know. And we want the truth. We've got to know. If they speak to you...
What truth will you gather from taking this tour and smelling a dead body in a car and visiting a field where the animals have eaten the body? What truth will you learn from that?
Oh, God, that's the part that I cannot believe.
Mr. Hendry, I'm sorry that the real world upsets you and Jerry, but it's the real world, Phil.
Okay, I know that there's a real world out there, and I understand it's crowding in on us every day. Why do you go seek it out like this? And a box lunch?
Are we supposed to do a tour and not feed people?
You're going to go and look in a field where...
Not only seek it out, you want to reenact it. You know, the real world is real enough. Why is it necessary to reenact the tragedy?
What do you mean reenact it?
You're going to have the car, a Sunbird, which is the car that this woman drove... smelling like a corpse.
That's the only part we're going to reenact. Everything else, except for the fact that... Well, what are you laughing at, sir? A moment ago, you were shocked.
I'm amazed. I'm laughing in shock, okay?
You're
just saying this in a calm voice. It's just unbelievable that you think this is really a good idea.
I'm so sorry for those Americans who think that information... and experiencing life and experiencing something that's fascinating is a bad idea. And
when you say fascinating,
day,
Ms. Dooley,
lady. I experience
the thing
life
that is that's missing.
Have you smelled a corpse in a car? Yes or no?
Well, it's got nothing to do with anything.
It's not necessary.
Where'd you smell a dead body, Phil?
None of your business. How about that?
Well, then I don't believe it.
All right, you want to know?
Yes.
In an apartment that I was going to rent.
What?
That's exactly right. In an apartment I was going to rent, and I found out later the cops found a body in it.
You're a liar.
I'm not lying. You asked me, I'm telling you. And I'm telling you right now, it smelled like I ain't smelled it before or since.
Well, then how come we don't get to do that?
Oh, you want to get to do that, huh? No. You want, like, you're going up? I mean, what do you think it is, an all-day sucker or a ride at Disneyland? You want to get to do it?
You know, Phil, I came on your... And, Jerry, you don't relate to this at all. You think that I'm out of my mind. Go ahead and say it. I'm a mother, and I want to know how to protect my children.
I'm a father.
All right, don't you want to know what your daughter will eventually do to one of your grandkids?
My daughter will
leave it in the field?
To one of my grandkids. I'm sorry.
You don't know that. You don't know that, Jerry. One of these days, Jerry, you're going to get into... What kind of car do you have? If you don't mind me asking.
What difference does it make? What difference does it make?
I'm just asking, what kind of a car do you have? Is it a sports car? Is it a...
It's a sports car.
All right, let's say you drive a Camaro. One day you get into that Camaro...
And yeah, we know, and it's going to smell like a dead body.
How dare... Oh, my God. I love the hypocrisy. The hypocrisy of telling me that I'm out of line and the two of you laughing. I love it.
I love the hypocrisy. You are out of line.
No.
You're saying that every person out here is going to experience this one day, so you want to set everyone up so they won't be shocked. Because everyone in this world is going to experience this. You're saying this
you look at that, family.
That I'm going to
Mr. Henry said
that my daughter, which I don't have, is going to kill my grandchild. And put it in my car. You say everyone out there is going to experience it, so you're preparing these folks that you're taking on this tour so it won't be such a shock to them when it happens to them.
I can tell you this much. That's an American family, as Mr. Henry just said, that has been wrecked by this tragedy. Had they seen it coming, maybe they could have done something about it. And, Jerry, you don't have a daughter. You have a son. Same difference.
Yes.
You get into your Camaro one day, and it smells like what died, which is exactly what... You know.
Cindy Anthony used that expression. People say that when someone cuts a fart, they say what died. They say that when there's something...
Excuse me?
She didn't mean literally what died. She had no idea that she had been that a dead body had been in that car. This woman just wanted to know what the hell was stinking her car up. Jerry, thanks so much for your call, and thank you for injecting a little bit of sanity here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let me take another phone call here. I was going to break, but let's take a call here from Solomon in Greensboro. Go ahead, Solomon. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
What really
yes, sir.
Tells and thinks about this thing is your guest said. You putting this thing off as a civic thing that you need to do, and yet you're calling it a tour, and it's a commercial enterprise. You're charging people to go on the tour. There's classrooms for the type of thing that you're talking about. These people that go on this tour are not going to learn those things.
Well, sir, what classes teach you? What classes show you exactly where the lower portion of a body was dragged by a possum?
And would you stop, please? It's making me sick.
No. There are classes for that. I'm saying, well, then you start a class. Then you start a classroom for that.
This is practical. It's hands-on.
Yes, hands-on.
Mm-hmm. You go to the place. No, why would you say it's commercial? Is it commercial to have a private university?
Pardon?
Is it commercial to have a private university? Yes, but necessary. That's what I am doing. It's the Bobby Dooley University of, you know, why does the car stink?
The Bobby Dooley University of why does the car stink?
The point that I'm making, it's the University of the Dead.
Go ahead. The University of what?
It's the Bobby Dooley School of a dead kid.
Oh, that's really respectful.
Yeah.
What?
And what are you going to do after this?
Are you a grandfather, sir?
I'm a great grandfather.
All right. How would you like it if your granddaughter took your great-grandchild and just left it in a car for a weekend, just to really get the interior stinking it up?
I wouldn't like it at all. But this is not the answer. But what you're doing is not the answer to that.
Not the answer.
Those things wouldn't happen.
If you want to go and take a criminology class, like Solomon may be saying, or a law enforcement, or
Phil, that's not the hands-on practical experience, okay? Mm-hmm. Of going down and saying, see, there's Universal. That's where she was working while the kid was there in the trunk, see?
The people that go on the tour are going to learn from this and take home from that.
Well, as I said, hopefully, Solomon, and I said this to Jerry, a gentleman like yourself will look differently at your daughter
yeah.
and think, okay, what's she got in mind for that kid? You are. Mr. Henry, not you, Solomon, but Mr. Henry, you deserve to hang by the neck.
Oh, do I, really?
For laughing at that?
I think it's funny when you say, what's a grandfather? A man, this gentleman's going to look at his daughter and say, I wonder what she's got in mind for my grandkid.
I mean, you can't shock me by making it personal to me.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you was, what is the benefit of what are you doing to humanity?
What we're learning more and more is that what these kids can do if we give them the right or the wrong kinds of food.
Well, we already know this.
They
we
go out and they strangle kids
we don't
and then
have
go
to
dancing.
Go on a tour to learn these things.
What is the what's the differential between strangling a kid and then being on the dance floor at Fusion? How much time?
How much time? What?
Well, how much time elapses between the time that you chloroform the kid, leave it in a bucket, you know,
and get out
and
on the dance?
And if I take your tour, I can help. If I take your tour, I can help prevent those things.
Yes. Well, at least you'll know your daughter's going out dancing.
All right. Okay.
I already know she's capable, like any human being, of doing these things.
Of course you do. But your daughter's going to go dancing. But do you know that she just left five minutes before a child in a cardboard box?
She wouldn't go dancing, but she would go and play basketball.
All right. So your daughter goes and plays basketball. Meanwhile, something's really ripening the inside of her car. That's what I'm saying.
You're talking about this like they're not even human beings.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
What you doing going to prevent those things?
I just told you. I don't know how many different ways I can say
it. I'm saying,
you, Solomon, you're going to look at your daughter and you're going to say, you're not playing basketball.
Mm-hmm. No.
I got a corpse-sniffing dog and you're taking me to work.
Okay. Solomon, thank you very much, sir. We have to take a break, but you're a very good man for putting up with this asinine line of reasoning. You're not going to play basketball. I got a corpse-sniffing dog, and you're taking me to where?
I think you're going to go find a grandkid.
877-876-PHIL. You know, I remember being in Atlanta when a particularly horrific crime had been committed. A little child had been murdered. And they finally found this child, and eventually they charged the father. But there was this morbid fascination with the spot where they found the child. It became almost a tourist attraction. I mean, people were lining up, parking their cars, going over to where the site was. It was almost as if you could start selling hot dogs or balloons. I mean, if you set up a stand there selling chewing gum or candy or something, people might have actually availed themselves. And that's exactly what Mrs. Dooley is doing, and that's exactly what I think is so wrong about this, that a horrible crime has been committed, an entire family is coming apart at the seams in front of our very eyes, and she's taking people on a tour? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, back with Bobby and Steve Dooley. And don't forget PhilHenryShow.com for our podcast and live Phil TV right now.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And we are online at philhenryshow.com right now, as well as our affiliates all over the country. If you want to log on and take a look at our video cast, you can do that. Every single night that we're on the air, we've got our live video cast, and we have a five-day archive of that, as well as our daily podcast that you can get a hold of through iTunes of the show, and also live on 150 affiliates across the country. Bobby, you wanted to make a point, and I understand that it's a sort of a final. You said that this is your clincher point.
Yes. I think this is what really is going to... I think your audience knows, Phil, listening to me, that we really do have the moral high ground here.
All right, so before you say that, you're going out and you are going to have a tour of where Casey Anthony killed her daughter, where she left the body, where she partied, where she said she worked, which she didn't, the home she lived in, and also you're going to work your contacts with Dr. G at the District 6 or District whatever the hell it is.
District 9, if you've been watching. Oh, wow.
You don't even know it. She's on TV.
She's on television.
Okay, she's on television, District 9.
Yes.
District 9 Medical Examiner Dr. G, to provide a corpse so you guys could put it in a sunbird and smell it.
Well, the way you say that, so you guys can put it in a sunbird and smell it.
Yeah, you're all judgmental.
You're being very judgmental. Yes.
Of course I'm being judgmental. It's the most macabre and morbid thing I've ever heard.
Well, here is the point I was going to make, Bill.
Yeah, I got to hear this. This is your clincher point.
It is my clincher point. And here it is, okay?
Yeah.
Steve and I have, for the longest time, been opposed to the death penalty. Okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, okay.
Well...
Wow. That doesn't
make a dent, does it?
What is that supposed to do for me that you're opposed to the death penalty?
I am opposed to the death penalty on humanitarian grounds. I believe it is cruel and unusual punishment to commit... to kill someone. And so, therefore, I think she can be rehabilitated, and you can't say that what I'm doing is macabre. You're macabre and morbid because you believe in... Oh, he doesn't even get it.
No, I don't. Say it again.
I said... Well, I know you're going to play the music, and I won't be able to say it, but I'll...
Phil Henry.
Burn in hell.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Why? Because they, quite frankly, suck. Okay, that's a little harsh, but nonetheless... Welcome back to our program this hour, part two. We have Clara Bingham with us. She is a middle school teacher, a substitute teacher. We're going to talk about something, a phenomenon that seems to be occurring across the country, and that is that kids are being asked to, when they bring their garbage to school, which is the wrappings and so forth of their lunches or their breakfasts, they're being asked to take it home with them. Why? Because it will save the school money. And we're going to talk to Ms. Bingham about that. Her school, Joyful Union Congregation, which is a middle school in the Los Angeles area, is doing it. And many, 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 many other schools across the country are. I've gotten tweets and I've gotten email from lots of parents who are talking about that. Next hour, of course, we have our News and Information Hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Our Fox and Friends appearance will be next week on Fox and Friends, next Tuesday, on the Fox Morning Show there on Fox News Channel. Not tomorrow morning because they've preempted it for some other thing. All right? And don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Live streaming video of the show. Get a backstage pass. It will explain all that you need to know, okay? It's the only, seriously, the only subscription site in radio, well, with the exception of a couple of others, and I mean only a couple of others, that is worth it. 877-876-PHIL. Clara Bingham joining us, and Ms. Bingham has been on the program before. Clara, and you are married to Pastor Rennick, the two of you, founding members there of Joyful Union Congregation. How are you?
I'm very well, Phil. Thank you for having us on.
And how is the pastor?
He's very well.
Now, the school, being in California, but all over the country, schools are running up against expenses. It's pretty tough. And it is a difficult thing for schools to grapple with. And it seems like down through the years, no matter where we are in the health of this nation economically, we're always worried about our schools. We've heard about band programs being cut back, athletics having to go out and fend for themselves to get money, and so forth. But now, kids are needing to help with trimming the garbage budget, huh?
Well, it's just one of those areas, Phil, of expenses that we have to look at. Schools in California, in all the states, in Florida and New York State, all of our schools across the country have been asked by a great many of their state legislatures to look into cutting back. you know, the expense that they have. And so in order to do that, we have to be creative and look at how we can utilize our students as well as our parents, because we work in tandem, Phil. All schools, good schools, work in tandem with their students and with their parents.
All right, so the kids are being asked to take home their trash.
That is correct. If they bring...
And this is for... What kind of meals and snacks and things the kids bring in?
Well, sometimes children will bring in their morning snack along with they've got their lunch. And they also have afternoon snack. Sometimes they'll bring in a breakfast or something. But everything that they bring to the school, if it is wrapped, and generally, unless, of course, it's a Tupperware or some kind of container like that, the Tupperware is going to have to be taken home anyway. But the wrapping, tinfoil, aluminum wrap, saran wrap.
Yeah, the wax paper and bags.
Wax paper, bags, everything has to be taken home with that child. One step further is a improvisation, not improvisation, it's an idea that we have adapted to this.
Now, one step further is an idea that your school had. Are other schools doing the same thing?
Yes, there are schools across the country that are, as we say, using this one step further. So not only are the children taking home garbage that they have created, but in order to help the school, as I mentioned, everyone has to pitch in to some degree. And in order to help the individual school as well as the school district, the children are asked once a week to take out garbage or trash or refuse that the school generates.
And so the kids are taking home not only their own trash, but once a week, how much of the school's refuse?
We want to see the children take 1 to 2 pounds, if possible, of the school's refuse.
Now, why you're going to get that? Have you had a lot of parents that have complained about this?
We have had parents question this, but we've also had told the children, we give them the option, because the parents are saying to us, we don't mind our children taking garbage home. We don't even mind our children taking home school garbage if that is what is necessary, but we do not want this on our garbage bill.
Right.
So we have told the children that once they are off school property, of course, we don't have any more control over them.
And so what are you doing? Are you inviting them to...
No, we most certainly are not, Mr. Henry.
You're inviting them to just dump it anywhere?
No, we most certainly are not. We are saying that once they leave the school with this garbage, we are not forcing any family to add this to their trash.
Well, if you're not are you not leaving the door open to a child...
No, Mr. Henry, if I could finish what I'm saying, then I'd be happy to answer your question.
Go ahead.
We have asked the children to pack out, or as they used to say in the Army, I think the pastor told me to stay in the Army, hump it out, you know, to hump out 2 pounds of garbage, hump it out of the bush, you know.
And what does that mean, hump it out of the bush?
It is a term, my understanding is a term they used to use in the Army when they were... leaving an area to go back to civilization.
And so what has that got to do with kids?
Well, it makes it fun for the children when we say to them, you can be like a soldier in a war, you know, and it is a war. It's a war to save our school. So hump this trash out of the bush, and that's what they do. We have all...
Now, like, I want to ask you one question here, because I feel it's only right.
Go ahead.
What about the teachers? Are the teachers taking garbage out? Are the teachers, are the members of the administration, are they taking garbage out? Are the members of the school board taking garbage out? When we talk about people pitching in, what exactly, we've got our children now, you're saying, taking 2 pounds of trash that isn't theirs out of the school once a week. What about the teachers?
Phil, I think it's a very fair question, and I think it has to be answered very directly. Our teachers, and I am one of them, have a monumental task in trying to educate these children. We have a monumental task in trying to make good citizens out of these children. We feel that this is not a part of the job of a teacher. We think it is definitely the part of the job of a child. And children learn responsibility, and children learn that they are, until such time as they gain in their awareness and in their acumen and in their citizenship. Children are really at the bottom of the social rung. I don't mean that in ways that we treat them, but I'm saying a child is at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to who does what job. And humping 2 pounds of garbage out back out off of school property. And
so children are being asked to do this, but not the teachers?
Not our teachers, no, Phil. We have, I'm a little surprised you'd ask that question.
Why?
Well, I think that what we do should be very obvious.
You're surprised I asked the question of why. You've got children that are taking garbage, not only their own garbage home, but you're having them take home the school's garbage.
Not all of the school's garbage, Mr.
No, I know, but a couple of pounds of garbage a week. And you're having these kids go out and do this. Now, I ask you this question, why are the teachers not doing it, and you're surprised?
Yes, I'm very surprised, given what we do, given what we mean to the school. I'm always surprised when people want to see a teacher hauling garbage. And I will tell you a little bit of a story, Mr. Henry. I had a very good friend at one of our schools whose husband was also a teacher, was a history teacher at a local high school. During the summertime, he's a garbage man. And I said to her, your husband teaches children during the school year and he's a garbage man in the summertime. She said, bring home good money. I said, I would rather eat garbage than have my husband do that. Now, we're not friends anymore.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Well, but I was honest with her. I was honest, and I said to her, and that's when I told myself, there's only one answer to the problem, and that is to find a way to get these children to step up and to haul the garbage out, as well as we have problems with these children and their use of the plumbing, the toilets, and so forth. So they are costing us a lot of money.
And look, if you've got a school that is supposed to be teaching children, and you are having these children now take the garbage out of the school because you can't have the garbage company come because it costs too much money. Now you're talking about the plumbing, using the toilets. What is a kid supposed to do during the school year or during the school day?
No, the child, Phil, I'm not saying the child is not using the toilet. I'm saying that costs us money, and that necessitates a solution as well. So we have all these things we do for these children, and they're not doing anything. The parents are paying the taxes, yes they are, but it's not enough taxes to pay the garbage. So we have to have the child take the garbage out, making all that garbage.
And in the process, though, they're not only taking out their own garbage, they're taking your garbage out, but you say that they should do that because you, as a teacher, provide so much that it's not much to ask.
That is absolutely correct.
And you stand by that?
Absolutely. There's nothing to be embarrassed about that statement, Phil. We're trying to teach these children citizenship.
And well, you're also saying that kids are at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to the work ladder, and that hauling garbage is something they should get used to. And I'm not necessarily disagreeing that a kid doing hard work is not a bad thing. I'm not saying that's bad. But when they're at school, and they're supposed to go home and do homework, we also have them hauling not only their own trash, but the school's trash. And then you're mentioning something about them using the plumbing and the toilets.
Well, that is something that this cost in the school money. What are we going to do about that?
All right, well, our number here, and if you'll hold on, Ms. Bingham, we'll get back to you. You can tell, obviously, here, folks, that there's a big difference of opinion between myself and Ms. Bingham when it comes to this idea that the kids are supposed to be hauling the garbage out, hauling trash home. I understand that if they make that trash. If they come to school and they have a sandwich wrapped up, a bag, bags of cookies, whatever, they take that trash home. But now they are making the kids take a couple of pounds of the school's trash home, too, because it's costing too much. What do you think about that? What do you think about the idea the kids are taking their own trash home and the idea that not only that, they got to take the schools? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Back with more from Clara Bingham from Joyful Union Middle School, here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show after this.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Clara Bingham joining us from Joyful Union Middle School. And we're talking tonight about schools saving money. And one of the ways schools are finding to save money is to have the kids take with them back home the garbage that they make at lunchtime or the garbage they make at snack time. And as I said to you, Clara, I don't, as a taxpayer, as a parent, I don't have a problem with that.
I don't think anyone should, Phil.
I don't necessarily have a problem with that. It also teaches the kids about recycling. But you're saying the kids are also having to, as you put it, hump it out of the bush.
Well, it's a term that we use in the Army. And you have to hump that garbage out of the bush. And what that does, it teaches a child to be responsible for keeping everything clean. We cannot have these children living like pigs. And as well as the use of those public Andy Gump that we've had to use because of the fact we've had to cut back on our plumbing.
Now, you guys have Andy Gumps at the school? These are toilets. These are outhouses.
They're public, yes. They're mobile toilets, yes.
And you have proposed that the kids are also removing this septic bucket or basin?
It is one of the jobs that we have the children do. They pull it out so that the man who comes from the Andy Gump service can collect it, yeah. Mr. Henry, I can assure you, I had it much worse as a child in my school.
No, I know that, but we've all had it worse. What we're trying to do is make it better for kids today. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Kelly in San Antonio. Kelly, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Clara Bingham.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I've just had an experience where children cannot find their name in cursive, cannot write in cursive, they cannot print, and they're addicted to computers. We need to cut back on the computers and the electronic waste that's in the classroom and get the children back to reading and writing. Pencils are much cheaper, so is paper.
I understand what the gentleman is saying. The only problem is we live in a world now, Phil, that is a computerized world. And there's no human being that is going to be able to survive in a commercial aspect of this world, educational, any aspect, unless they have computer skills.
All right, sir. Thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Richard on 7445. So you have the kids doing what?
We have the children, as I am approaching the Andy Gump, I will tell the children if there is someone in it, if the man is here, you have to get that. And that man who called in about the curse of Phil, can I just comment?
Yes, but I want you to talk about this Andy Gump thing.
Well, the man who called in saying that we ought to get rid of computers sounds like he doesn't even live in America.
And why?
Because anyone knows you can't get rid of computers. You have to have computers.
I understand that, but the man was a little bit taken aback, I think, by the fact that we're having to save money on educating our kids by having them hump garbage out. Now, let's get back to the toilet situation, okay?
Sure.
You have kids doing what?
We have the children. When the man from the Andy Gump service comes, we have the children pull the buckets out, and those are the septic buckets. And
okay, so the kids are having to clean these outhouses.
No, they are not. This is a way of saving money, Phil. This is a way of...
I understand it's a way of saving money. I just want to know what it is you have these kids doing. You have the kids pulling the basins that contain this waste so the man can collect them.
Yes. Absolutely.
Now, can I ask you a question? Because we had two emails about this from parents. Were you using one of these Andy Gumps one day?
I beg your pardon?
Were you in one of the Andy Gumps using it when the kids were supposed to be pulling these basins out?
Yes, I was. And I know the parents you're talking about. They are serial complainers.
So you were in, hold on, you were in, and do you mind if I, you were relieving yourself?
Yes, that's what you do in one of those. So I was relieving myself. And I had gone in on purpose. Is that what you're asking? Yes, I'd gone in on purpose.
All right, so you knew that the kids were going to be there moving these buckets, and you went in on purpose.
Yes, because it was part of their life lesson. That was life lesson day in terms of how slaves were handled, in terms of how 19th century laborers were handled, and so forth. And the children were having a difficult time getting that, so I said to them, I will give you a life lesson. I didn't tell them what.
So when you saw that the kids were getting ready to pull these buckets out for these men that were going to come around and collect the Andy Gumps, you went into this outhouse and relieved yourself.
Yes, I did. And this is very unfair, Mr. Henry, because I am talking about something that should be taken in totality. I am talking about...
I understand that. You're talking about saving money and at the same time teaching the kids.
Yes. But you are saying you're bringing all the sensational aspects of this out. You're saying, oh, I walked up into the outhouse, and I relieved myself when the children were pulling, taking a slop bucket out. I did not do it so that I could punish these children. I didn't do it because I wanted to hurt these children. I did it because it was a life lesson.
It was a life lesson in order to get these children to understand how people are treated, how the slaves were treated, or however the hell it was that you said, that they have to go and get the outhouse buckets while you're in there relieving yourself. And at some point, you're going to have a lawsuit. You know that.
No, we're not going to have a lawsuit. We are so... no.
Yeah, you're going to have a lawsuit. There's going to be a parent that's going to sue you, and they're going to sue you for, I don't know, how many millions of dollars, and they're going to win because you have kids taking outhouses.
No, they won't, and I'll tell you why, Mr. Henry. You cannot sue a school district right after you ask them to save money. You can't do it.
Why not?
Because you just asked that school district to save money. So we come up with ways to save money. And then you sue us? No. It don't work like that. Mm-mm. No, no. No can do.
Well.
No, no. No can do. No can do.
All right, we're going to come back with some of your phone calls here on the Phil Henry Show. We have Clara Bingham with us. Her number is 877-876-PHIL. What do you make of this trash program? Are you okay with your kids not only taking their trash home, but also the school's trash? That's what they're having them do it. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Clara Bingham joins us from Joyful Union Congregation, and we are discussing here schools saving money. And ever since the beginning of time, it seems, Ms. Bingham, and as long as I've been alive and you too, we've talked about schools saving money, and we ain't got enough money for this, that, or something else. We never seem to have enough money for schools. And now what we're having to do is cut back on trash pickup and delivery to the point where the kids are taking the trash home, and the services of companies like Andy Gump or these outhouse companies so that you don't have to pay that much. You've got the kids helping them too.
Correct, Mr. Henry.
But what I found particularly appalling is, as part of their life lesson, as the Andy Gump guy pulls up, you go in and use the outhouse.
That is, Phil, I can only say this, that as part of what we're trying to do as teachers is combine these life lessons. I think the parents out there understand. They understand that if we need to have a child take home not only their own trash, but the school's trash as well, then that's what that child has to do. We are not asking the child to take it all the way home. We're asking the child to just take it off of campus.
All right, and then the kid does what with it?
I beg your pardon?
What is the kid going to do with it? If they don't have to take it home, they're taking 2 pounds of the school's trash, what are they doing with it?
Well, they can do anything.
Do anything they want with it.
They can do anything they want with it. We are simply saying that we're not making the parents pay to have that put into their own trash. Now, that alone if you will, is worth the price of admission.
All right. Eight's worth the price of admission? I don't think so. 877-876-7445. Here is Randy. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I agree with you, Phil. I think that they're looking for a huge lawsuit there. You're dealing with the health issues and everything when you're dealing with that waste from the porta potties and that sort of thing. And the teachers would be in there using it.
They get latex gloves. They get a latex glove.
Pardon me?
They do get latex gloves so that they have the protection.
You know, I've been in the Army. I've been there where you're humping it out.
All right.
And you know what? You
know
what we're
talking about humping out.
You know who's humping it out with you? Your officers and your NCOs. And true leadership is ass in the grass right there with you. You're setting up a superiority situation. And you're setting yourself up for a huge lawsuit. And I think you have an overwhelming sense of self-importance. You're setting up elitism. And this elitism...
I understand what you're saying, but...
It's going to lead you down the road of a huge lawsuit, and you're going to lose that exactly what you're
That's
trying
right.
to do.
And you don't seem to think you're going to be sued.
Yeah, the reason why we won't get sued, Bill, is because without me and the millions of other teachers in this country, these children grow up and
you're talking to a parent right now. You're talking to a parent right now who would sue your butt off if you were doing something like that to my kid.
By the way, Washington State is doing this. Washington State is doing this.
Well, hold on. You guys were talking over each other. What? Say it again, Randy.
She is not serving as an example. She's telling them what they ought to do. She isn't asking them or asking the parents, hey, how can we take care of this situation? No, they're coming up with their solution, and their solution puts other people in a subservient situation. This is classic.
We have to, because there is no one else going
to
teach your child. Sir, there's no one else going to teach your child not to eat with his hand.
No one else is going to teach...
Where are you going to find a teacher that's going to put up with the mess the kids bring into school every day? There are not a lot of people to do that. So
you know what? My teachers seem to take care of it back in the 50s and 60s. And,
today, children are violent. We've got to get these children, we have to teach these children more subservient. They've got to get back to the basics. How to clean a toilet.
Your toilet is not an example of...
Why do they got to carry your toilet out?
Because when this gentleman was in the Army, did you not have to carry out the slop bucket? You had to hump that out.
No, they didn't hump that out. What are you talking about?
No,
septic waste?
We burned it. Right in the...
You're
telling them to take it home. You're just saying you don't want it in your back porch. You don't even care if it's thrown out on the street. Where are they going to put it? In somebody else's dumpster? Make it somebody else's responsibility. That's what you're teaching them. You're teaching them to make your problem someone else's responsibility.
Yes, you are.
That's exactly what you're doing.
No, we are not.
That's exactly what you're doing.
No, we are teaching the children...
You're not teaching them anything except to pass the buck, and that you're an elitist woman.
We've got to get it off campus. I've got to get that mess off campus somehow. They get it off the campus. They can take it and they can throw it in someone's front yard. Yes, or they can do the right thing and take it home. And
So that's the right thing.
And that's the right thing. And who says what the right thing is? You?
I'm the teacher.
Oh, so what?
I'm the one that teaches the morality. Wait.
The parents
are not.
These parents are not teaching these children.
You don't. Teaching them morality,
but they don't. But they don't. They don't, sir. And so we have to pick up the slop. And I got to carry that slop bucket. They carry a slop bucket.
Wait. All right. Look at Randy. Great call. And I think you. Thank you, Randy, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. And more comments are welcome. Ms. Bingham, I just want to hear something. You said that if you're carrying the kids' slop bucket, they carry yours. Now, what you were saying was the equivalency of if I have to put up with the low morality of these kids.
I'm saying that the children come to school not very well prepared for these moral decisions. a lot of these homes these kids come from, parents don't know right from wrong. Child comes from a home, it's a mess. So that child, in a way, is bringing a slop bucket into my environment.
Now, what is a slop bucket, by the way, if you don't mind me asking?
Slop bucket. You don't know what a slop bucket is?
No. Is it the...
It's a receptacle for for outhouse. So the child is bringing the equivalency of a slop bucket into where I work. And I have to deal with that child's slop every day of my life. Every day from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., that child bring into my classroom slop, which is a moral slop. It's not physical slop. He's not bringing his own, he didn't go to the bathroom in a bag and then bring and put it on my desk, but he might as well have.
So, and so it's a gotcha thing.
Mr. Henry, you are getting effeminate sounding. You went, it's a gotcha thing. And I am saying to you...
My voice is cracking because I'm a little irate. It's a gotcha. Oh, if I got to deal with your bull crap, then you, here, kid, you deal with me after I've...
You think it's funny? I don't think it's funny at all. Every day, teachers in this country go into classrooms, and we have to deal with a child that has been molested, a child that has not been taught right from wrong, a violent child, a child that wants to attack, sometimes rape a teacher, sometimes beat a teacher up. We have to deal with a child that is rude, has a dirty, filthy potty mouth on him, has never been taught right from wrong. Child don't know nothing. And I have that child in my class. And what has that child done? That child bring a slop bucket in. And that child has taken that slop bucket, and this is figuratively, and has poured it on me. And so what do I ask in return? I ask in return for that child to stand at attention while I go in and use that any gun. Yes. Stand at attention until I walk out and then I give a thumbs up.
And then they can go and pull that basin out.
That is correct.
No, that sounds to me like you're punishing them. You're punishing a child for the environment that the child comes from. It's not that child's fault. It's the fault of the parent if the child is being molested, for God's sake, or any of these other despicable and disgusting situations that exist in American homes. I don't disagree with you. Don't punish the child for it. Let's go to Tim in Austin, Texas. Tim, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Morning. Listen, this is nothing less than child abuse. You know, there's another example of a teacher's unions. What you hear continually about teachers' unions is they're more concerned about their own benefits, their own pay, themselves, their eliteness, rather than teaching children education. You know, they never have enough money to teach
education. That's exactly what we're doing. We are teaching education. But at the same time, we've got to get these kids under control.
No,
you don't just sit down with a child and you don't say to a child,
What you're doing is putting refuse in a container that you're having the kids take out. I don't know how old these little kids are, but that's child abuse. I can't believe it.
Let me ask you a question. Don't you have chores for your children to do? Don't you give your children chores to do? Of course you do.
I'm not going to have them pulling out refuse from my toilet. I'm going to be worried about teaching them. And if you don't have enough money to do that, where's all the money going to? Are you getting paid too much? What's the primary reason for...
Maybe you're getting paid too much. Maybe you get paid too much. Maybe we should tax you more.
All right, let's not get ridiculous here. This gentleman is...
The liberal teachers union.
I'm saying... Oh, there you go. So it's down to liberal. You have a child not get taught
properly. Are you in the teachers union?
A private one. Yes, of course. Why wouldn't I be? I have to be in a teachers union.
This is one more example of hundred reasons why we need pro-choice schools. We need vouchers for schools so these children are not forced to government.
Hey, Tim. Tim, hold on for a minute. Ms. Bingham.
Well, the man is going, he's not even saying what he wants to say.
The gentleman is saying what he wants to say. I don't think you need to mock him.
I'm a teacher. I know how to teach a kid to talk good.
You don't know how to teach. You don't know how to teach. And that's the problem with America today, is we have too many teachers like you that look out for yourself rather than for the children, and teaching them the three R's and teaching them about the history of this country and why it was founded. You know, I'm tired of hearing about
three R's. Reading, writing, and arithmetic are the three R's. History ain't part of it. Number two,
Refuse is not part of it either. Refuse is not one of the R's. Let me tell you that.
Yeah, and neither is geography. And neither is religion. And so, just, you know.
All right, but the reading, writing, and arithmetic was because we want the kids to learn the basic. They need to know how to read, and they need to know how to write, and yes, they do need to know basic math skills, and then we build out from there. It's not that we're ignoring that.
Well, I'm saying that the child brings into my classroom slop from his house. He's bringing in the slop that his parents, you know, teach him. So why can't I have him haul my slop out?
What are you talking about?
How long have y'all been doing this? How long have y'all been doing this? The kids doing this?
We finished our first year, and we're going into year two of One Step Beyond.
Have they been
one school
for
year?
The last year, or for the last week, or for the last month? How
the
long
last
have they
school
been
year.
Doing it?
The last school year.
The last school year.
Yes.
All year long. And this is the first
I've
heard
exactly
of
correct. And you're in Washington State.
Guaranteed.
And you're in the other gentleman was in Washington State. They're doing it in Washington State. And this gentleman's in Texas. They're doing it in Texas. Doing all over.
Where are you? Where are your school district?
In California.
Where in California?
Southern California. We are in Bellflower, California.
It's Bellflower, California, sir. It's a Los Angeles suburb.
Bellflower, California.
Los Angeles. Okay. Now you probably want to know why you're short of money. Because you're paying for 15 million illegal aliens there. You're spending about $20-25 billion a year because the state of California is supporting about 15 million illegal aliens in California. You'd have a little bit more money if
you conservatives, you never say anything different. Yeah, the illegal aliens. I'm giving you a new way to look at things.
You're abusing children.
Tell your kids,
but you're not,
haul my
you're
slop.
Not following the rule of law. You know, in this country, there's a rule of law. Right?
No, there isn't.
You pick and choose the laws you want to follow.
Of course you do. I don't have to follow some laws are wrong.
The laws that you teach the children?
Of course.
What do you mean, of course?
Well, some laws are morally wrong.
Wait a minute. There's law, and then there is breaking the law.
Some laws are morally wrong. Number one, the law that says I can't relieve myself, that's what this man's saying.
No, he's not. He's saying you can't relieve yourself and have the kid haul the slop out to the Andy Gump truck. And what is this stuff?
We are setting an example. And I'd like to set an example for you, Tim. I would like you, Tim, to stand at attention while I go up and use the anti-gun.
I'm a retired military woman, and I wouldn't.
Don't you call me woman? Don't you call me woman? Don't do it. I'll find you. I'll find you, and I'll leave you where I find you.
All right, listen, Tim. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. It's a good call. We're going to take a break here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. What does that mean, you teach the kids relative...
We say some laws are wrong. The law that says a child can't stand at attention while I go up and use the gum, while I go up and go ahead and make myself feel better for the first time in the day, all day long, all morning long, I feel like hell. I come to school, I look at these kids, if they pour a slop on me, now come lunch hour, my payback time. Children stand at attention.
Uh-huh.
I go in. I use the gum. As the door opens, they salute.
Get her out of here, will you? We'll be right back. I can't believe that this woman goes and uses an outhouse at the school, and the kids are supposed to stand at attention while she's in there. And then as she comes out, they go and grab the bucket from underneath and take it down to the gump truck. 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right. Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Clara Bingham on the line with us as we talk about the expensive education, the public education of our children. It seems to be expensive. It seems to be breaking the budget. Every time we turn around, oh, we don't have enough money. I personally don't understand it. And I certainly don't understand. I mean, if we're going to make ourselves, if we're going to make money available for anything, it ought to be for our kids.
Well, Mr. Hendry, I'm not the one that votes down all of these. When we have in the public election and so forth, we'll have a bond issue to build a school, and a lot of times it will be defeated because the people that vote, most of the people vote, are old people. And old people don't care about education as much because their children are grown. They're not going to have any more children. And so these old people, they don't vote for the school. So if you want to blame someone for the fact that I have got to have these children somehow turn a very negative experience into a positive, which is standing there and hauling a slop bucket over to the Annie Gump man. And so they have to stand at attention. Don't blame me. Blame these old, dirty old? I don't understand why I get the blame or teachers get the blame when it's some old man, old lady, living on a golf course someplace. They say, we paid enough, this, that. We don't care. Let the child holler slop bucket. That's the person's doing it.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. It's Desiree in Chattanooga. Go ahead, Desiree. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. I am very offended by this, by all of this. I would not let anyone have my child carry a slop bucket, let alone a teacher. These teachers are supposed to be the people that these children can go to feel safe. And even if these children do have baggage, that doesn't matter. You have baggage, too.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Everyone
I have to deal with their baggage. I have to deal with a child that has
you know
a violent temper.
And we
have to
deal
with
teachers. And we have to deal with teachers that don't care. And we have to
deal
with teachers.
That's ridiculous. I'm not there to solve the problem. I'm not a miracle worker. To take a child that comes out of a home where the child's been abused, where the child's been beaten, where the child isn't fed right. You want me to be a miracle worker? All right. Here's how I'm going
to
start. I'm going
to
have
that
child.
You're not providing them. You're giving them the same thing they're getting at home.
No, I am not. I'm teaching them a life lesson.
No,
I say to them, this is exactly what your mother and father are doing.
Wait a minute. You're saying what?
I said, this is exactly what your mother and father are doing to you. Now carry my slop bucket.
So you're telling them that that's what your mother and father are doing to you. Carry my slop bucket.
Yeah. I don't stutter.
Oh, lady, you should not be a teacher. That's horrible.
Phil Hendry.
Oh, okay.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show until 1 o'clock every night on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, your late night and overnight alternative to the wretched, wretched world of talk radio. Hello, everybody. I'm Phil Hendry.
Boy, way to really sell it, man.
Well, we're the anti-talk show. That's all I can tell you.
Like, yeah, so is it Uncle?
Yeah, that's right, bud. The other shows are the Uncle and we're the anti. Somebody ought to smack you, man. Anyway, welcome to our program. And, of course, every night we are here on our website as well at philhendryshow.com if you want to watch a live video cast of our show. And you can also see that show on demand. So tonight's show, if you missed it on video, you can see it on demand. All you got to do is go to our five-day archive. You can also pick up our show mobile on your iPhone through the Skyfire browser and certainly on your Droid. All other phones, we are mobile, baby. Don't worry about that. In terms of our video casts, as well as our audio files, as well as our podcasts. Very proud of that. And at some point, we're going to get the website itself, a mobile version of the website. And you can see this happening everywhere. That these apps that everybody was so jazzed about, You know, so that Apple can get their piece of the action. Guess what, Apple? Don't worry about it, man. We'll just go ahead and make the site mobile when we need to make the site mobile. But no, thank you. I don't necessarily have to pay the piper, man, just to get an app. Just get an app on your phone. It ain't going to happen. So what we try to do is make things more sensible for you, our user of the website. And the other thing that's really interesting, if you go to our website, philhenryshow.com, right on the home page of the website is an article that we posted. And we put it there because we think we're pretty special. But no, seriously, we put it there because it was an article written for a site called, I believe, Fishbowl LA. And as well as the article in the Orange County Register that talks about how we have how we've really embraced the new media, how we've embraced websites as well as radio, as well as just everything that we can get our hands on. And of course we have.
That's how you gotta make money.
Well, it's not just how you make money, but this is, folks, this is a this is very, very relevant to you guys listening right now, to your lives, to what you're doing right now with your lives. In my business, which is not the end-all, be-all business, believe me when I tell you, I know that I'm a very lucky guy. And I know that what you guys do out there in your lives with your jobs beats the hell out of anything I'm doing here. But my industry has gone through the same, almost an identical traumatic upheaval that the auto industry has gone through. But you haven't heard about it because why should you? It doesn't make any, it's not going to hurt you that a bunch of radio people are on the street or a bunch of stupid radio executives are getting fired, or should be, or that companies have lost value hand over fist. It doesn't make any difference because it's not the auto industry. We don't employ millions of people. We employ to the tune of thousands of people. We don't have a huge union that has to be dealt with. My industry, the radio industry, has fought tooth and nail for decades to keep unions out of the business. And that may be good and that may be bad. It sure as hell didn't help them when push came to shove here. There's no union problem in radio, folks, but guess what? Our industry has lost value to the tune of billions. Billions! And there ain't no union hanging it up. Our industry has lost value for the very same reason that Detroit did. We had jackasses running it. You can tell me all you want about unions. I get it. But you cannot deny the fact that when a guy stands there with a straight face and says, we're going to keep on selling trucks when you know that gasoline's going to go to $5 a gallon. And don't give me this horse dung about how, man, they're making cars better than ever before in Detroit. You know what? The horse is out of the barn, baby. You may be making fantastic cars right now, but your ability to plan for down the road, 20 years, 30 years, maintain customer loyalty, maintain the value of product, what kind of product, and is it something that the people are going to want to buy? And we've got the stories. You know, you can go through the laundry list of screw-ups on the part of Detroit when it came to solidifying its relationship with customers and looking toward the future. Well, the radio business is no different. The radio business did the same thing. Didn't look toward the future. Didn't develop product. Looked instead, as Detroit did, for new and better ways to tear a dollar bill in half and make it into $2. After a while, you got confetti, don't you? So where does that leave Phil Hendry? Where does that leave? I was just talking to my friend Whitney Allen. Whitney does a national country music show. I worked with her at a big company not too long ago, and I was just we messaged back and forth on Facebook. Some of you may be fans of Whitney. She's terrific. She's a great talent and is in business for herself. She has her own company now. I have my own company now. What have we done? What are we all doing? We're turning into entrepreneurs. Did we all just decide one day, get a real flash, hey, I think I'm going to go out and start myself a company? It was out of necessity. Out of necessity. And the first thing that we decided to do with my show is I recognized right off the bat, our show has real value out there. people want to hear the show again and again and again. People want to hear podcasts of the show. People will pay to hear our show. It's that damn good. And I'm not so stupid that I don't recognize the opportunity in that. So we start a subscription site. And we offer not only our podcast, we offer our video, and we have high-definition video, and we have a professional video setup. And we'll be doing remotes with our videos later on and so forth. But I only say that to tell you this is what's needed in our country in general. And you may be experiencing this yourselves. You may be saying, you know, my business, the business that I was in, used to pay me this much money, and I worked for somebody. Now I can't. Now you got to go out and do what? Well, you can find another job with another company. You ain't going to get paid as much. Or you can at least not get paid as much, but be in business for yourself. And that's what's happening here. And that's what's happening in our country all over the place. It's happening in our country all over the place. So I thought the article was interesting. It says here, schizophrenic radio host Phil Hendry masters the web. Well, I wouldn't call it mastering the web, but what we are doing is we're learning. I've learned so much in the last, say, I don't know, 4 years that we've been doing this show as opposed to when we were national 7, 8, 9 years ago. I've learned about the DMCA, which is the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. The fact that the internet is a Wild West show, the fact that people are out there stealing and robbing material left and right, and just like the days of the Old West, you know, the lawman's got to come into town sooner or later and slap these people down. And I've learned about that. I've learned about copyright protection. I've learned about how much do you charge? What do you charge? How much does a video stream cost? How much is bandwidth? You know, how do we get business? How do we set up credit cards so people can take, you know, put their credit card information and purchase a subscription? You know, how do you do a merchant account? How many merchant accounts can we have? I mean, there's a lot to learn, but it's all stuff that I would much rather learn than work for somebody else. So if anything, what this lousy, rotten economy has done for some of us, and it should be for more of us, it's taught us how to go into business for ourselves. And you know what? What I'm grateful for is I know that sooner or later we're going to be able to hire more people because our business is expanding and getting better and bigger. And sooner or later, what you find yourself in a position of doing is making life a little bit better for other people by hiring them and suddenly creating a base where you can employ people and you are no longer the guy being employed. And that's kind of a cool thing. And I didn't mean to do a whole speech on this.
Well, I mean, man, it's true. You know, you might as well talk about it. And the fact that someday you may be making money, but right now you're getting your ass kicked.
What do you mean I'm getting my ass kicked?
Well, you know, you can make a lot more.
Yeah, sure. You know, I can always make a lot by getting my ass kicked. We've got a subscription base that's going up every month, which I'm very grateful for. But that's not why I'm talking about this. I'm talking about the American economy and the so-called entrepreneurial spirit alive in this country. By God, it is. You know, I ain't saying nobody invented it. It's just, it's out of necessity. That's what's going on. So I don't know where the hell am I supposed to go with that. I was going to talk about Tracy Morgan.
Well, we got Professor Clayton is going to come on.
Oh, we got Professor Emery Clayton will be on in just a couple of minutes. He's going to talk about Tracy Morgan. I was going to talk about this little girl that survived rabies, but that doesn't...
No, man, they're not going to make that. You want to talk about that now? Not now, man.
All right, I won't. God, what got into you?
Yeah. Well, you're all talking about the internet. Now you're going to talk about a baby getting rabies?
Rabies. Not rabie.
What?
Rabies.
Let me see that.
Can you not breathe on me when you do that, bud? God.
Let me see that. I got it.
Give me that. R-A-B-I-E-S.
I thought it was rabie.
Rabie, huh? No, it ain't rabie.
You know that? No, a kid got rabies.
No, you're not going to, hey, that kid got rabies. You walk into a hospital and say that, and the doctor's going to think you came out of some freaking, you know, cotton field someplace.
Kid got rabies.
Rabies? Kid got rabies. All right, we'll be back with that, and also Professor Emery Clayton here in our News and Information Hour. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com. And I guess I've talked enough about the website, but let me just give the... I'm just kidding. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Three to the
for Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. This is our news and information hour. On the line with me from Sylmar, California, is Professor Emery Clayton from L.A. Canyon College. Tracy Morgan, quote, is still apologizing, end quote. That's the L.A. Times. For a recent series of anti-gay jokes, telling a hip-hop magazine on Monday that his words were indefensible, and adding that if he had a gay son, he might try to love him even more, then chiming in with support for same-sex marriage efforts in New York. He's also planning to meet later this week with a group of gay youths who have been ostracized by their families, according to E! Online, in addition to sitting down with people who've lost friends or family to anti-gay violence. Morgan issued an apology last Friday for homophobic jokes he made at a Nashville stand-up act the day before. Now, they weren't really jokes. It was part of a rant. Morgan is alleged to have said, he said, homosexuality, calling homosexuality a choice. Morgan said that homosexuality was a choice. He said that, quote, God don't make no mistakes, end quote, and said that, quote, all this gay stuff is bull-s, end quote. He continued, if my son were gay, he better come home and talk to me like a man and not like a homosexual. Morgan then mimicked a feminine voice, or I'd pull a knife and stab that little N-word to death, end quote. And this guy is saying all of a sudden he's sorry?
Phil, I want to make a comment here.
All right, this is Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Professor Emery Clayton. I want to make a comment here. That man, Tracy Morgan, is a black man, as I am. Now, he has seen a lot of people marching in the street. Seen a lot of black people marching in the street. A lot of black people looking for rights. A lot of black people looking for jobs. A lot of black people looking for the same equal opportunity that white has had. Now, all of a sudden this month come up here in June.
Right.
And you know that Juneteenth is June 13th. You know what that represents?
June 13th was the day. Juneteenth is not really June 13th.
That June 13th is midway, but Juneteenth, do you know what Juneteenth means?
Yeah, Juneteenth is what the African slaves called, the freed African slaves called the day they knew it was sometime in June that they got word that the Emancipation Proclamation had been issued by the president.
That is correct.
But they can't remember the date. They know it was Juneteenth.
It was the middle of the month of June is what they knew. That's all they knew. And so they call it Juneteenth. Now, in this month of Juneteenth, which is a significant month for African-American people, because our forefathers, our forebears, and our ancestors found out during this month, 1863, just before the Battle of Gettysburg, that they've been freed from slavery, and this month they're going to be white people marching. And you know why? Because they're gay people.
Yeah.
Now, I got nothing against gay people. I don't think Tracy Morgan does either.
Well, I disagree with that.
What's that?
I disagree with that.
Why do you disagree with that?
Because I don't think he's sincere at all. You don't come out and, on stage and say, I'd pull a knife out and stab that kid, unless he's just playing to other black guys.
What does that mean, playing to other black guys?
Unless he's trying to come off as a hard ass so that other black guys will know exactly where he stands. Because there seems to be an acceptable level of homophobia among black males that's defended. And the reason for that may be that black men don't, you know, are having a hard time with their manhood. Or seeing themselves as men. I don't know what it is.
Well, you said a whole lot there that doesn't make any sense at all. And you said a whole lot there that just got no basis in reality at all. No one needs to tell me I'm a man. I know I'm a man. And
well, what do you think of gay people?
Hold on for a minute. I'm talking. I know I'm a man. Now, what do I think of gay? It's got nothing to do with this. I'm saying that Tracy Morgan, if I could go back to what I was saying, Tracy Morgan sees a lot of white people marching in the street.
Now, that's going to make any black man sort of stand up and go, what is this? What are whites doing? Black people are the ones that march, not whites.
Wait a second. Are you telling me that this is the whole reason for this is because he can't get used to the gay rights?
I didn't say gay rights. I said all the white people marching.
Well, there's some black people in those marches, too.
Not so you'd notice.
Now, get out of here, will ya?
Hey, you hung up on a professor.
He's not saying anything.
Oh, man. You just...
That's right. I'm apoplectic. He ain't saying nothing. All these white people are marching. I got Tracy Morgan upset. I know he's going to call back.
Yeah, he's not used to having no phone hung up on him.
Oh, well, isn't that just too bad? Now, Tracy Morgan... Is that him?
Yeah.
Emery?
I'm telling you, you're the first man to ever hang a phone up on me. Now, I've got some rights here.
You don't have any rights at all, okay? Don't give me this horse dung about how they're, you know, he doesn't like to see white guys marching. Why don't you just face the music here? This is a problem that is, it's somehow settled in the men who are black in this country. They got a problem with gays because, first of all, they don't want to be called gay. They want to be all man. I get it.
No, you don't get nothing. How dare you speak on my behalf? I'm speaking on behalf of Tracy Morgan, and I'm telling you, you are wrong. Now, I'm a black man. You're not.
I know that.
All right, then just listen. Don't be talking. Listen. I get up in the morning, and I'm happy with the freedom that I've got. I'm happy for Dr. King. I'm happy for Booker T. Washington. I'm happy for Nat Turner. All right. I'm happy for Sojourner Truth. I'm happy for Thurgood Marshall. I'm happy for great Dr. Charles Drew. I'm happy for great black people down through history. And then I get up feeling good. I look out my window, and what do I see? A lot of white boys in tight white shorts marching down the street comparing themselves to me.
Now, that's what I mean. You don't. That's offensive.
That's not offensive. I just wish it... Did they have to do it?
Next door to you?
I didn't say that either. Can't they wait? Why don't they do it while I'm still asleep? And that way...
All right, thank you very much. All right, I gave him all the chances he wants.
Yeah.
Why can't they do it while I'm still asleep? Okay, so anyway, Tracy Morgan has apologized, which, whatever, fine, dude, go ahead. You know, I mean, anybody that... All of these guys that apologize for stuff, isn't there a point now where we stop believing all these apologies? You know, oh, I said it, but I didn't really mean it. Horse dung. I will simply say to you what I've said to you many, many times before on this show. You ain't never going to hear me apologize for anything that I say or do on this show. And we have to think and move fast and get in and out of bits. I mean, I got to do things at lightning speed sometime around here for 3 solid hours. That's what we have to do. Okay, so I'm up against everything that Tracy Morgan, Don Imus, and Tracy Morgan, this guy's a stand-up comic. He's got 20 minutes of material that he needs to memorize. That's it. 20 minutes of material that he needs to work every night, 20, 30, for whatever it is, 40 minutes. 40 minutes of material, the same damn material, night in, night out, night in, night out, night in, night out, city in, city out. There's no chance at all this guy can butcher that, but he did. And now he's got to apologize. We'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Clayton Emery, Emery Clayton, now he's going to get pissed at me for that. We'll be right back with Professor Clayton, Emery Clayton.
Phil Hendry.
Emery Clayton!
For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Personally, think that the time has come where when these jackasses say the stuff they... Tracy Morgan said, this wasn't just an anti-gay rant. This guy said that if his son came home and told him he was gay, he'd stab him to death. That's funny? So Professor Clayton is with us, and I don't know when... I'm going to stop believing these guys. I don't believe... And I'm starting with Tracy Morgan.
Why is that?
Oh, do you think it's because he's black?
Well, you're saying you started with Tracy Morgan. I mean, you don't want to believe that man's... You don't want to believe that man's apology. Why?
Because I'm getting tired of these guys apologizing. Are these guys professionals or not? They know what they're saying. When you're on stage, when you're doing a radio show, when you're doing anything, you got to be in control of what it is you're doing. Otherwise, you don't belong there. This guy's not sorry for what he said. He meant to say this.
Bill, I want to tell you something. I think you are attributing to that man. You don't understand satire.
And I don't understand satire. I don't look at you wrote an article, Professor Clayton. Let's talk about the article you wrote, and you called it Queer Camp. You remember the article?
Yeah, I remember that. That was pure satire.
In this article, you said that gay people should be put into concentration camps and eventually gassed, but the upside would be the interior decorating would be phenomenal and the camp would look better.
First of all, you read that. You just carved that up left and right. Lenny Bruce said one time that it was a tragedy that the cop did his material for him on the stand. He wanted to do his own material. And you just done my material, and you butchered that.
Well, what? Oh, well, there's a funny... How do you say that funny?
I'll say it. First of all, you prejudiced this. And
did you not say that? You said that gay people should go to concentration camps and be gassed?
I said, put them in a camp, gas them, but first have them change the curtains. That's what I said. And I find that...
That's real funny, man.
I bet you there's people laughing.
Maybe.
Well, then why don't you take a...
All right, so...
You know, Phil, you got all the cards. You're the host. You control the flow of the show. And I understand that. But if you're telling me you didn't think that was funny...
Lay it on me again.
Put him in the camp... Gas them, but first make sure they improve on the curtain, something like that.
The whole gas them thing.
Oh, come.
877, no, not oh, come on. 877-876-PHIL. Professor Emery Clayton, on the comments made by Tracy Morgan, he'd stab his son if he found out he was gay. Here is Roy in Akron, Ohio. Roy, go ahead.
Well, obviously, Clayton is He's obviously not paying attention to what Morgan said. Morgan is a bigot.
I know what he said.
And Clayton is obviously a bigot. It's not a black or white issue to begin with. Morgan is obviously
a homophobe. All these white people going down the street. All the black people have marched for their rights, and now here comes some white boys in shorts.
Okay, so
what's that about?
They march for the rights. Is that what it is?
Well, you're talking about, I'm saying they can march,
no.
They got to do it right by my house?
That's a question.
Not by my house, no.
Why not?
Oh, okay.
I don't like to see a bunch of these boys going by.
Is that what it is?
I don't like to see these boys going by with their tight little shorts.
No. Hey, what it is,
yeah.
You're turning it into it's no longer a homophobic issue.
Homophobo?
It's a racial issue.
What's homophobo? What is that?
Homophobia is what the man was trying to say.
No, sir. It's never been homophobic, and it's not racist. What
well,
it is,
then
is
this. What, then
a lot of people went before. A lot of people went before who died for their rights in marches and so forth.
Okay.
And now here comes some guy in chaps.
So Morgan can make these.
Some guy comes by in an oversized cowboy hat and chaps.
His own son. Is that okay?
No, not just ostracize his own son. Stab him.
Oh yeah.
He wants to murder his own son.
He was joking.
Where's the humor in that, man? Tell me where the humor is.
He was kidding around. Don't you, boy? Look, I know I'm talking to two white men, Roy and Phil. You both are white. That's okay. Don't you white boys like to laugh? And
I don't find anything funny in that. There ain't nothing funny in that.
What was said? He said if his son...
If his son came in and started talking like a gay guy, he'd stab him. What's funny about that? Or are you telling me that's only something that a black guy thinks is funny?
You said don't make it racial. Don't make it racial.
Well, I certainly don't find it funny on my end.
On your end. Get it? You guys don't get that.
Okay.
Get what?
Ask me one question.
What I just, what Roy just said there, he said, I don't find it funny on my end. And I said, yeah, on your end.
Like, you in a respectful manner. Ask me one question.
Yes,
what
sir.
Is wrong with white people protesting in the street?
Nothing wrong with white people. I said these white boys with tight shorts.
Your comment was white people marching in the street. That was your comment. What's wrong with it?
It's not natural looking.
Why isn't it natural?
Why is it not natural? Because whites got rights already. What are they marching for?
Well, we got less rights than you do.
Oh, listen to the white boy. Now, you got to give me that affirmative action stuff. Is that it? Reverse racism? Hell, you walking around doing anything you want, when you want, and how you want. Ain't nobody telling you what to do. Nobody keeping you out of a bank job. Nobody keeping you out of a loan.
No.
So don't give me that.
But
I'm telling you that you white folks.
I can't.
Hold on.
I didn't get a job because of my color. You can.
You can get a job anywhere you want, and your color ain't going to have anything to do with it. Guaranteed. Now, I'm telling you something.
Those whites. You're saying that white people cannot march because
we're white.
What?
No, I didn't say they can't march. I said, could you pick a better time to do it? It looks unnatural, yeah.
It looks unnatural.
Yes, it looks unnatural. Tell me it looks natural, but your white people going, oh, man, my rights.
Gay people.
Well, gay people are...
And I said to you that gay people are not just white.
Most of them.
No.
Most of them.
No,
yeah, most of your homosexuals are white. I hate to break the news.
Wait, hold the phone. If gay black men know that there is an attitude out there about them that would have a Tracy Morgan saying he would stab his son to death, how many gay black guys are out?
I don't know, what's that supposed to mean?
You know exactly what it means. It means that they're probably scared to death, more so than even a gay white guy, to come out of the closet because Tracy Morgan says, let's stab him.
You know something? What do you know about being gay?
What do you know about it?
I don't know anything about it.
Well, then, you know what? At least I've got some sympathy, and I have some...
Can I get in here, Phil? You know, I don't know anything.
Go ahead.
I don't know anything more about either one of you than being gay. But I knew one thing. I do know one thing. There's nothing any more unnatural about a black or a white protesting an injustice.
Well, you may say that. But when I get up in the morning and I look out my window and I see all these whites going down the street, crying in their beer, I'm like, where have I gone
from? Wow, maybe you should move.
Membrane into another. What the hell is going on?
Maybe you should
all
move.
All of a sudden, there's white people? Move where? I'm an American.
Nobody said move out of the country. Move out of the neighborhood.
Oh, go back to my black neighborhood, huh?
Well, if that's what
you know.
Look at, first of all, hey, Emery, what you're doing is you're living in the gay part of town. Why?
Don't you stand it? Because I'm queer.
So
oh, no, I would never make that mistake.
I didn't vote. You guys don't get it.
No, you just can't answer the question. You get up, you look out the window, there's a bunch of white guys, it's offensive, Tracy Morgan sees the same thing. Bingo, both you guys are living in the gay part of town. And there's all these white gay guys. However, the black gays, there's not that many, even though you'd stab them to death if there were.
So you're trying to tell me there's some black guy out there that wants to come out of the closet, he's afraid of getting stabbed?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you. All right, listen, Roy, thanks for your call, sir. I appreciate it very much. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Emery Clayton has hung out with us. What do you think of him saying he'd stab his son?
I'm telling you that was a joke. And
do you find that funny?
Mr. Henry, I don't find a lot of things you do as funny, but you call it satire. You call it satire. When you were on the other day, I heard you on the other day saying, well, you just had this lady on talking about she's going to the bathroom, going to the toilet, having to go to the toilet as a little kid is trying to drag that her toilet mess out. Now, I don't find that funny.
Uh-huh.
Oh, look at him. So you laughing at it, huh?
Yeah, so's Bud.
I've met Mr. Dickman. He's an idiot. You employ imbeciles to laugh at what you do.
Yeah, it's pretty funny, though.
No, it wasn't. But you think it's funny because Mr. Henry purposefully employs people with low IQs so they'll go, at the bullcrap that you say. Now,
Wait. You just said that you know satire and you think that what he said was funny.
Yes.
All right. Tracy Morgan says, I'd stab my son to death if he was gay. Phil Hendry's Clara Bingham says that she goes up into the outhouse to go to the bathroom, and then the kids have to carry the bucket down to the Andy Gump.
Yeah.
Which one is funny?
The first one's way funnier.
All right, Bud, what do you think?
I think the toilet.
Why'd you get that? Where's that brother? I know that Robert Leonard.
I'm right here, but I got to agree with Bud.
What?
I said I got to agree with Bud, Professor. Way funnier to talk about lady going to the bathroom, have a kid carry it, than him stabbing his kid.
What? You working for Mr. Henry. How long you work for him?
It's got nothing to do with color. It's got to do with what's funny.
You don't think that's funny? Let me ask you something, brother. You and the gay people?
I got nothing against a gay man. Nothing against him at all. But I don't think it's funny want to stab your kid.
What have you done to all the black... Every black person that works for you, Henry, you turn them.
I turn them? Turn them into what?
Ain't that... Let me ask that dumbass. Where's the dumbass?
Who?
That Dickman.
Right here.
Okay. Don't you have a black girlfriend?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Vivian.
Vivian. Ain't she smarter than you?
Yeah, she's smarter than me.
All right. That proves.
What's it prove?
It proves that...
Man,
what the hell? You know what? That's a case of a guy just getting himself... He's backed himself so far into the corner, he didn't know what else to do. You know what I'm saying?
He didn't know. He got backed into the corner, all right.
Yeah. You're afraid of the corner getting backed into, though. He's getting backed into something else.
Whatever. But that guy, that Professor Clayton, coming on here to try to defend Tracy Moore, you can't defend a statement like that. Any more than you could apologize for it, too. And I got news for you. I'm sure Tracy Morgan's going to do fine. He'll go back into the professional world, and he's going to kick ass. That's what he does, that's what he's done, and that's what he'll always do. But I'm telling you, folks, these apologies are meaningless. They're meaningless. And you know what, Jace? I don't know if Jason Rantz at our studio, if you can do a little online survey for us, maybe in our last break here, how many apologies have we heard in the last, oh, I don't know, 5 or 6 years? We got the Don Imus apology is the one that stands out. And there are any number of them. And how many of these apologies, and we can go back over them and listen to these apologies again and listen to the nature of the comments that were made and ask yourself, do you really believe this guy is sorry for what he said, or is he sorry for losing his job? Isn't that what we say about criminals? They're not crying for their victim. They're not crying for the injustice that they did. They're crying for themselves because they lost their freedom, right? And this guy Morgan, I don't buy his apology. Any at all. Zero. Do I hate the guy? No. Do I think he's funny? Yeah. Do I think he hates gay people? Yeah. Yeah, he does. Yeah. He hates gay people. He wants to make sure that he, you know, has the right image in among other African-American men, which he figures means that you have to be murderous toward them. Murderous, even if it's your own blood. Murderous. And did he say it? Did he say it on stage? Did he mean it? All of that. Yes, 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 and yes. So take your apology and go someplace else with it. And I really honestly think everybody ought to think that way, but I'm not trying to tell anybody what to think. Now, NBC, as Mr. Rantz pointed out to us, NBC is probably behind this because they got a lot of money tied up in this guy. Michael Richards apologized for the N-word thing. John Mayer apologized for saying that he's got an N-word pass. David Letterman, sorry about Palin's daughter. David Letterman gave the best explanation, and in point of fact, David Letterman's apology was the only one that I believed when he said that perception is everything, and I should have known that. Alec Baldwin said he was sorry for calling his kid a rude, thoughtless pig. We'll get into it here when we get back. Which ones did you believe? Which ones didn't you believe? All right, our number, we're not going to take calls on it, but something for you to think about. 877-876-PHIL and philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. World famous
Radio,
Phil Hendry Show.
For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Our last segment here with Bud and Robert. You guys.
I got Tiger Woods. He apologized.
Yeah, we said Tiger Woods and.
Close to your microphone.
Said Tiger Woods and Chris Brown.
Yeah.
All right, well, what we're doing here is we're figuring out all these stupid-ass apologies that we've heard. And when I say stupid-ass, I get my intelligence insulted after a while. Don't you, folks? Don't you, after a while, go, now, wait just a second. How gullible do you think I am? How dumb do you think I'm? Look, I'm not saying Tracy Morgan ought to be fired. I'm not saying any. I don't think any of these guys should have been fired. I don't think Don Imus should have been fired. I honestly don't. I mean, it's up to the employer. But understand something. The only reason why anybody gets fired in the business that we're in, this broadcast business or entertainment business, is if they're already, it's already bad for business, you know?
You talking about if they're like, they don't have no rating?
Yeah, if they don't have any ratings. If Don Imus got fired, not because he said nappy-headed hoe, he got fired because all of his advertisers were bailing out.
They ain't going to make no money.
They were not going to make any money. They were losing advertisers by the second on that show. And MSNBC finally said, what the hell are we standing next to this guy for? He's like poison, man. He's got leprosy. So they kicked his ass out of there. Why do you think Tiger Woods, after apologizing for having sex with God knows how many, you know, thousands of women, I don't know, I'm just, you know.
Well, you know, he probably did.
All right, so why do you think that guy, after apologizing, and you think he meant that? Do you think he meant that?
Well, yeah, he got caught.
Exactly, got caught. That's what we're always told when it comes to criminals. Why don't we apply the same thing to these guys? Now, Tiger Woods apologized. Why? Because the PGA knows they got no tour without Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods is the PGA Tour. Tiger Woods is the best thing that's happened to the PGA Tour since the early days of Jack Nicklaus. Tiger Woods is the best thing that's happened to the PGA Tour since Arnold Palmer's young days. I mean, that's what we're talking about. You think they're going to let a good thing like that go away because the guy was screwing around on his wife? Are you nuts? I'm saying that rhetorically, folks, for all. Of course, you know.
Well, I mean, they don't want to be associated with a bad guy.
Oh, is that right, bud? Well, that's why they had him apologize.
Yeah, they had him apologize, make it sound like, you know, they don't owe you a bad man.
Right. You apologize, and so it makes it look like the PGA is just, oh, we're squeaky clean, and we would never, hell, okay, we'll take you back. You apologize. Yeah, bull crap. The PGA, they don't have Tiger Woods, man. They might as well shut it down. Shut it down. Hugh Grant, Elliot Spitzer, Kobe Bryant, Don Imus, Kanye West apologizing after the VMA thing, Rick Sanchez. Look, Rick, I love you. You hate Jews? That's your business. You want to know why Rick got fired? Because they were moving him out anyway, man. He lost his afternoon anchor role. He was going to go to a reporter role. He was not going to have that show much longer. CNN did not have necessarily a high-profile gig left for Rick Sanchez. So he was expendable. That's why he got fired. Had Rick Sanchez been a big, big money-making guy, they would have tried to find a way to keep that cat where he was.
What are you talking about?
I mean, if that guy was pulling down huge numbers and was driving lots of business, they would have found a, believe me when I tell you, CNN would have fallen all over themselves, man. They would have gone into the stigmata. They would have, gone on the mission there with Robert De Niro, you know, with all of that night stuff hung around their neck.
What are you talking about?
I mean, they would have bled from the eyes to find a way to keep that guy on the air. That's what I mean. That clear enough? Anthony Weiner. What do you think?
I didn't see the picture.
I'm not talking about the picture. I mean his apology.
Oh, no, he didn't mean it.
Okay. Well, I can hear the music. The Battle Hymn of the Republic. And that means it's time for us to leave to vacate the premises and spray a little Lysol after we go. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Dan Northcraft, and our associate producer is Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson, who is our new associate producer. Great job, Chris. Great job, Dan. Great job, Jace. We'll see you guys tonight, back from vacation here. 1 week from this very morning will be on Fox and Friends. 1 week from this morning, Fox and Friends. Put it on your calendar. The Phil Hendry Show. Au revoir.
Phil Hendry.